Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020. This is our 10th episode. The weeks have flown by, almost 12 weeks, and we've got about 16 weeks to go until full Ironman in PE on the 29th of March 2020. Tonight, we're going to be chatting to you about the fourth discipline in triathlon, which is transition. And there are three of those, two of those in an event, in something like an Ironman. And we're going to sit together and just explore what works for us, what doesn't, maybe some of our questions and some of our challenges, and bounce some ideas off each other. Gerard, over to you.
Well, just having done one triathlon, I come with a wealth of experience. So just please take out your pens and your notepads and don't miss a word that I'm going to give to you guys. But yeah, on a serious note, when it comes to transitions, I've got one fear, especially with the first transition, going from the swim to the bike. I've got this fear, and it almost happened with my first triathlon, that I get a cramp while I'm trying to take my wetsuit off, which is extremely difficult. I don't know if my wetsuit is just very tight or what the reason is, but I can like get it off until like my knees, and then I need to like use my fingers, and I can feel these cramps are going to like pile up. And I think I need to practice that a little bit more often, or maybe, I don't know, put Vaseline on my legs. Maybe it slides off quicker, I don't know.
This is the first time I'm hearing this, by the way, and I can't believe that's the one thing he's scared of.
I was fortunate enough to do a swim in PE during the week, and I was part of a triathlon group there that I connected with, and we all got out of the water at the same time. But by the time everybody was finished showering, I was still busy trying to get out of my wetsuit. So I think that's an indication that I'm quite slow on that portion. So that's something I think I need to practice. But other than that, I'm trying to get into the habit of just not taking it slow, but being careful and meticulous. Renzo, what's your fear when it comes to transitions?
Well, my fear is that I don't have enough stuff, that I don't have enough nutrition or equipment, or I've forgotten something behind.
Or your bag is not there when you get there.
Yeah, well, I can't find my bike. My shoes, T2. But what's been amazing is that, so since I joined the squad and I started training with the squad, how I've had to break so many of my habits. So for cycling, I was trying to work it out today. It's 15 years of cycling, where I wouldn't call it competitive cycling, right? But, messing around in age group riding, weekend warrior stuff. And I would always ride these long distances in certain equipment, like cycling gloves, which is just such an obvious thing. And it would always be such a mission coming out of the water, trying to dry yourself, trying to get all my equipment on, and then trying to get gloves on, and then the helmet and all that stuff. And none of the triathlon squad ride with gloves. So I thought, okay, well, let me give this a try, because it'll be very useful to get rid of something as simple but as painful as gloves. To just speed up T1 and to just speed up the process and have less stuff to worry about. And so for the last 3 months, I've been riding without gloves, and it's something I'm really struggling with. It makes my transitions very fast.
Do you put socks on? Because I don't put socks on. I'll just put the powder in my shoes.
That's another thing. I've stopped wearing socks on the bike. No socks on the bike, no gloves, keeping it to the bare minimum so that I don't lose a lot of time in coming from the swim onto the bike. I'm still learning about the wetsuit, by the way, because for all of the years of scuba diving that I've done, I've never had to suddenly get out of my wetsuit and climb on a bicycle. But I don't have yet a triathlon wetsuit. So, I borrowed a wetsuit when I did the Durban Half, and they've got strippers, They're called strippers. They've got a bunch of people who stand there waiting to help you strip off your wetsuit. And this guy said, "You want help?" And I said, "Yes, please, yes." And he came over, but I'd borrowed this wetsuit. And then he was grabbing at the wetsuit, pulling it. I was like, no, leave it alone. And I started shouting at him because I was scared he was going to get the wetsuit. So I ended up sitting there like a beached whale for half an hour, for 3-5 minutes, trying to get this wetsuit off. I eventually got it
all. It is a mission, and I think we had the conversation earlier on in the first couple of episodes where you actually mentioned going without socks, and my last couple of bike rides has been without socks, and it's not actually a major difference, but I think at the end of the day, sitting on this side of the fence, people might ask, yes, but just not putting on gloves. So you may be saving 5 or 10 seconds, or let's say 20 seconds on average. Does that really make a difference? And I think it's got more to do with like the mental side of it. Sitting there and taking forever, and people are coming and they're going and you're still sitting there. It almost like puts you at a mental disadvantage and you lose momentum. So although it's only a minute gain that you maybe make with some of these small changes, mentally getting in there and getting out there before some other people makes the real difference.
But also those gloves can be funny when your hands are wet, and then if you get them like all inside out, and then suddenly that 20 seconds is 5 minutes, and then you're panicking, and like when you get those gloves inside out and you're trying to put your fingers in to try and get them out the right way, and it can just be a disaster. So I suppose it will save you that time, but you can also add on a lot of time if you mess up some of the little things like the gloves or socks or I don't know, whatever. It could be anything, but they could actually add time onto your transition quite significantly if you don't practice them.
You know, so I mean, it's interesting because and I think both of you are making the same point, but from a different angle. What I found in my Durban half was that I took about, I think it was about 5, if I'm remembering correctly, it was around 5, but let's say 7 minutes, you know, just to be safe, to do T1, to do transition 1 off the swim, out of the swim onto the bike. And then when I did this triathlon last weekend, my transition 1 time, including taking off a wetsuit, which I'd borrowed, was 1.5 minutes.
Cool. That's quick, so, eh?
It's a huge time difference, but it's because I've simplified everything, so I've cut out a lot of stuff. But Carol, the point you're making is so valid, and Christine too. It's like when you're fighting with your gloves, you're fighting with your socks, and you see people passing you, and you want to do your race, and you're in that whole mindset of the race, it causes stress. Mm. And I think that's the biggest cost in the transition. Is like, how do you simplify the transition so that it minimizes your stress? Because that, I reckon, your heart rate goes up, and then maybe you ride too hard on the bike and you start burning your legs out before you should, which impacts your run later. So just keeping it simple, I reckon, is the key. So that's what I'm playing with at the moment.
Yeah, and with regards to shoes, I see a lot of pros put their shoes in like onto their cleats already. I wanted to do it, but I saw if I like run with my bike up until the point where I can actually mount it, my shoes are going to hit the ground all the time, and I don't know, I'm a little bit sensitive about my shoes that I got as a present. So, but I know there's like a string or a
elastic
yeah. band trick that you can do. I haven't tried that yet, but that's maybe something I need to explore. If that saves you a couple of seconds or not, I don't think it really matters.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sensitive about my shoes too. But I bought, and you see, this is where the equipment becomes so important because I've been riding for so long, I've got road cycling shoes, which don't have that triathlon specific loop on the heel, which they use for the to pull your shoe on and to tie with the elastic. So I've just got a plain pair of shoes, right, with the hard sole and all of that. And I don't think I'm going to go and spend right now another 2,000 odd rand on a pair of shoes. So when I do transition now, I have a look at the transition. If it's a, like this weekend, it was a small transition zone, and it was on grass. So I'll put my shoes on and I'll run with my bike to the mount line, and then I'll ride my bike. But in Durban Half, they've got such a long transition zone that my bike was right at the end of the transition zone. So, it was okay for me, but some guys literally had to run 300 meters, 400 meters, and nearly half a kilometer in their cycling shoes if they didn't have them already clipped into the bike. So in that transition, I had already clipped my shoes into the bike, but it takes practice to get that right.
If you get that wrong, it can cost you like an extra 5 minutes. Like if you get on and you don't clip it in and you end up bailing or whatever the case is. So
it takes practice. I didn't practice that. I just made a last minute decision.
Okay.
But I think that's the point, right? It's like you got to play around with ideas, and then whatever you see works for you, you got to practice it. So we were talking about the wetsuits as well, by the way, Gerard, and I was chatting to the guys where I borrowed this wetsuit, and I found that it was fatiguing my shoulders in the beginning of the swim. So the wetsuit fitted, but my shoulders weren't used to having to deal with the rubber when I was stretching. And so what we decided is that we're going to take a day where we're going to go down to the pool with our wetsuits, and we're going to practice swimming in our wetsuits so that we're used to them. And then also do transition, getting out of our wetsuits. And all of that kind of thing, just to make it easier on race day.
Yeah, and obviously with regards to the bike, I know it obviously does happen that some people, the bike malfunctions or something goes wrong, and that can be for various reasons. Obviously, if you get a flat tire, that's something you probably should practice as well. I know this doesn't fall under transition, but I think obviously by the time you get onto your bike, after T1, you want to make sure it's going to last you 90Ks, or in our case next year 180Ks. I think what's important is to just look after your bike, make sure that you service it regularly, and then also, even if you're lucky, or one of the lucky few that don't ever get a puncture, I think maybe simulate it from time to time just to practice, so that you don't spend 5 or 10 or 15 minutes alongside the road. I know with my first puncture, I didn't get the bomb onto the valve properly, so half of the bomb was almost gone already before I could actually start pumping up the tire. Luckily, I had enough to get me back home, but you don't want to make those type of mistakes in the race.
There was a time when I used to cycle, and I used to drive my friends insane because on every single ride I'd puncture, and I don't know why. I mean, something would happen and I'd puncture. I'd be the guy. So I've become so good at changing tubes. You don't have to ride in fancy tubeless wheels. I mean, of course, if you've got that kind of money and you've got that kind of bike, that's fantastic, because then you've got sealants. But I mean, it can be as simple as you can buy tubes. I know at one stage Giant was selling tubes that had sealant in them.
Yes.
So you can buy them.
I used those for a while.
Yeah, I did too. And then I got fed up because, you know, once they puncture, you can't repair them, you can't reuse them, then they're just designed to get you home, and then you've got to throw them away. What I always carry on a ride, it's a small little valve. So it's just a small little brass valve end. What that does for me is, if I have a problem with my bomb, or I only get to use half the bomb for whatever reason, then I can use that as an emergency. I can ride as an emergency, and I can stop at a garage, and I can use their I put that on the end of my valve on my bike, and then I can use their compressed air to pump.
Okay.
So it's an adapter. It's an adapter.
Okay.
Interesting. The pump. So the compressed air.
Okay, where are we going with this? I'm trying to figure out where there's a garage on the Ironman route that I can use, and would we be allowed to do that?
I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah.
For that. Because I know the rule is nobody's allowed to help you, but...
And something that that I learned was that also a lot of these bigger races, you need to leave your bike out the night before or overnight in transition. So you prepare your bike transition and you rack your bike and everything the night before. And obviously when it's very hot, I've seen people get to race day in hotter weather and their tires burst overnight. Or when the temperature goes from very hot to very cold, from like a daytime temperature to nighttime temperature. So if I do leave my bike overnight, I always let some air out the tires in the day before when I rack it, and then the morning I go and pump my tire up again, because I have seen people's tires burst, and I can think that's awful. Imagine getting then your tires actually burst, because then you need a whole new tire, never mind just a tube. So that's something that I've always done as well, just to be extra safe.
And so, something else that does take up time, I don't know if you guys do it, but sunscreen. I put sunscreen on before the swim. I know obviously it's a personal choice, and depending on how hot it is, it plays a role, etc. But I think it's something that's important if you don't want to like cry that evening or the next morning. But it does take up time. So I think what I've tried with the last one was a spray one. So I think it just obviously saves so much more time. It's a little bit less slippery than a cream one. But I think that's probably quite important to take note of, especially with Ironman, that we're literally going to be outside the whole day. 30 seconds of spray might save you 30 minutes of crying that evening.
I probably won't need sun cream for the run, just saying, because the sun probably won't be shining by then.
Which means you're going to need it for your bike.
Yeah, I will need it for my bike.
I'm not even there yet in terms of thinking about, because when you say that, Gerard, it reminds me that we can prepare a special needs bag on Ironman and have that available, I think, one or two places on the race.
Yeah.
I haven't even thought about that yet. But it's very important. That sunblock is very important.
Yeah.
Can I just want to say one last thing about the tires, because it got me thinking. When you're talking, Christine, about the tire pressure, I think that's so important. So it's not necessarily to punt any brand, but for all the years I've been riding, my favorite tires are Continental Gator Skins.
Oh, they're the best. That's the only ones I use. I would rather spend the money on it than the extra bit of money, because, it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, they're so resistant to punches. And what I love about them is you can really pump the pressure up high.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pump your tires up to ride at 9 bar. And what I love about that is that it really protects you from punctures when it comes to, because the wheels are so hard, the tires are so hard, any kind of glass or nails or any debris in the road really will struggle to get through that tire.
Mm-hmm.
And also if you ride over a little pothole or something, you're pretty safe. Mm. So those tires are almost bulletproof, and I recommend it to anyone who's a bit nervous about things like replacing or fixing punctures and so on.
Especially on the roads that we train on, and the roads that we have here. I mean, there is quite an uneven section at PE as well, where there's like a bumpy kind of more not gravel, but it's not as smooth as an like lovely, beautiful tarred M3. Is it the M2, M3, M4? Up to Zimbali?
Well, you go to M4, So, bicycle, I mean, fixing those punctures, well, that's about practice too. You've got to make friends with those tire levers. I highly recommend YouTube. There are lots of good videos.
We might have to actually get you on a YouTube video, and then you can show us how it's done, and we'll put that up on our... You, let's actually do that. Yeah, we'll put that up on our page.
The right to fix your tire.
I'll do that, and I'll show... Probably it'll solve a lot of confusion if I show that little adapter that I was talking about, because I'm sure I lost people for about half an hour there while I was trying to explain it. Silly little adapter.
When you said adapter, and I was like, oh, that's quite, that makes sense enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it's quite important to just maybe like do a high level run through, especially for the people that have not done a triathlon before. I mean, what in my head, and I hopefully it played out that way with my first and only triathlon that I've done. As you get out of the water after the swim, it's obviously a good idea to start unzipping already. You save some valuable time there, depending on how far the transition tent is. By the time you get there, you can potentially already be half dressed. Some races might have strippers. Maybe they've got actual strippers as well, but they they might have strippers that can help you get off out of your wetsuit.
Is there
a
heater?
And then, yeah, and obviously, if you do struggle to get out of your wetsuit, I find sitting down is maybe a safer choice, less chances of a cramp. Like we've said previously, try and minimize what you put on next. So no socks, if that works for you, no gloves, get your helmet, sunglasses, spray. Maybe there's a couple of bars or something in there that you want to eat before you actually get onto the bike. Remember to actually take your nutrition that's on the bike. If it's not, if you don't put it onto your bike previously and it's in your transition bag, just make sure you don't leave that tent without it, because that might be a disaster on its own as well. And and then remember, you can't get onto the bike until the line. That's also quite important, which sounds very simple, but if it's your first time, sometimes everything is a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
I don't think I've missed anything.
I think just don't take someone else's bag.
Or bike.
So make sure when you're grabbing your bag.
No. There's some people who've got much cooler bikes than you. And if you see a bike cooler than yours, grab that one. Just kidding.
And obviously T2. What's the
most So all jokes aside, you know, if I think about that Durban half Ironman that I did, where it was 400, literally, it was 400 meter long, transition one. What's so critical is when you're racking up your bike the night before is to take a moment to have a look at where your bike is, like get some sight, some landmarks or some clues as to where to find your bike, because it seems simple when you put your bike in there before the chaos of the race. But when the race is on, and there are thousands of bicycles, it is so hard to remember where your stuff is. And then you may be tempted to take someone else's stuff.
Or you go into a flat panic and spend 10 minutes running around accusing someone else of taking your bike or your bag.
Exactly. So, really take a moment to orientate yourself and find out where your stuff is. And then you can take it on, take on the rest of the race.
One more thing there. Yeah. It's not really part of transition, but it will affect your bike. It's just to not wait to get your bike serviced before you're in Ironman. Like, make sure you get it serviced by someone that you trust beforehand, so you can test everything out, go for a ride the day before. So the none of that stress of getting to your bike and transition and this isn't working or that's not working. Like, make sure that stuff's prepared and planned for before transition. You don't need to deal with that stress of anything going wrong or something not working in transition as you're leaving. And if you do your prep work beforehand, you can avoid all of that.
I thought I was very clever, right? I like to think that I ride a pretty finely tuned bike. I'm very fussy about my bikes. So my bike is always pretty neat and smart. And just before Durban Half, I said, I'm taking no chances. Exactly what you said, Christine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and get my bike checked, serviced, and you know, tell the guys just to give it a once over. A bike shop that I trust. And I took my bike in. And it was about 2 days before the race.
Mm-hmm.
And they serviced my bike and they tweaked my gears and they gave me back this nice, shiny racing machine. And I thought, lekker, now nothing can go wrong. And I hated every moment of my ride because they messed my gears up.
Mm.
They over-tweaked my gears and the gears weren't changing. I love the way my gears change. They're sharp, they're crisp, and I know where my gears are all the time. And I just couldn't find the gears I wanted in the ride. And so my lesson there was not to take anything for granted and yes, to have my bike serviced, but then maybe do it a week or two before and get a few rides in and have enough time to test it out and then send it back if you need to.
Exactly.
So that everything is spot on.
I know someone who got their bike serviced before and removed their saddle in the car and then dragged their bike with no saddle. No, it was disaster. Like, I don't think they finished. They didn't even start the bike.
Imagine riding 80 kilometers
with no saddle. It sounds like a pain in the arse.
You went there.
But yeah, I mean, those are quite extreme kind of disaster stories. But sure.
We were doing a hill session last week, and one of our guys, one of the bolts on his saddle snapped. And so he had to finish an hour's riding with no saddle. That looked very funny.
Was he not the guy that does 11,000 meters of climbing in a hill?
That's him!
What's his name? I'm going to tag him in this post.
No.
We'll keep it anonymous.
He'll remain anonymous. He'll know who he is.
You must tell that person to look at 27:29, 27 minutes into this podcast. It's a moment.
Okay, it's very funny, and he's very good on the bike too. So all he did is he picked up his saddle, put it in his back pocket. So you just see, and he got down in his aero position, right on his top tube, and he's riding along, and he just looked like a complete spaz. Like imagine a grown man on a child's bicycle with legs sticking up.
In full kit, like pro cycling kit.
Exactly. That was very fun. So yes, you don't want that to happen during Ironman.
Where were we? T2.
T2.
Yes, T2. Sorry.
Back there.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a lot easier getting off the bike because then you also just hand it over to somebody and they go and rack it for you. Does that happen?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I think it'll happen at Ironman. Yeah, Ironman, it will, yeah.
I don't think so. I think in certain races.
Oh, okay.
So in some Ironman races they do, and in other Ironman races you have to do it yourself. In the Durban Half, I had to do all of that on my own.
Sure, okay.
So they have marshals that tell you where to go. Yeah, you got to do it all yourself. But it is simple, right? Because they've got these big racks with your bags hanging off them that are numbered with your race number, and they're all in numerical order, so it's easy to find your stuff. So you come into transition, they tell you where to put your bike, or they take your bike, and then you put your bike down, and then you move off to the rack, and they've got an area where you can then take off your cycling gear. Take out your running gear, put your cycling gear in your bag, and then you put on your running shoes and your socks. And this one is important.
Yes.
Put socks on. Now you've got to put socks on.
I just don't wear socks in a like a short, so like a 5 or Olympic distance and stuff, I won't wear socks. But anyway, that's me. But yeah, carry on.
Now 42, you're going to want to wear socks.
Geez, I ran once without socks and my feet blistered so badly that I won't do it again.
And you want to be comfortable for 42 kilometers. I mean, you've got some extra time in a race like that, actually. Like an Ironman, there is a bit of extra time. So you'd rather be comfortable, get into some clothes that you that are fresh and clean and stuff, and, you know, be ready for the next 4 or 5 hours or whatever. In some case, maybe us, I don't know, maybe Renzo's going to do a sub 3.
Run. Or sub 3.
I don't know what I'm going to do. It'll be my very first marathon.
Yeah.
I won't even get a marathon in my training leading up to that. So we'll see. But and actually I like what you said, Christine, because, you know, that's the thing about these races, right? We're not Kipchoge. We're not Jan Frodeno or Daniela Ryf or any of those pros. So we're not there to win it. We don't need to do a 45-50 second transition. They do offer the option in Ironman of gender-specific tents where you can go and change. So you can pack a change of clothes in your bags and you can get into something fresh and something more comfortable for each of the disciplines. So for the bike, you can, out of your wetsuit, maybe there's a costume underneath. If you want to have a tri suit underneath, you can. Or you can change into cycling gear with cycling clothes. And you can do that, and then you can change into running clothes. And so whatever's going to be going to make your run comfortable, definitely go for it. But we train in our tri suits, and we do everything in our tri suits. So I'll probably stay in my tri suit for the day.
Yeah, you're used to it. Yeah.
What is that?
And I'm saying because you're used to it, you don't want something new on the day, and then a certain spot is not used to wear and tear, and just the chafing alone can be a disaster.
Well, I was about to say, so I just don't know how it's going to feel being in my tri suit for 12 plus hours.
Yeah,
that's going to be an experience.
Something different. Yeah, I mean, so obviously socks is important.
Vaseline. I put Vaseline under on my feet before the socks as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do the feet. I do everywhere else or almost everywhere else. Everywhere else where it matters. and then, socks is important. A cap. I always my run with a cap.
At Ironman, we might even need night lights, people. And like reflective gear.
Look, I know there's a lot of negativity about South Africa and load shedding, but I'm pretty confident that if it's that late, the street lights will be okay.
Yeah, there'll be enough support with lights as well.
I know they actually do put that in the rules. There are rules that if the running, like there are parts that get quite dark. It depends on the route, so I remember that actually. And they said, like, please remember if you will be running, like, the sort of 15 to 17 hours, like, just make sure you've got some reflective gear as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that can be in my
I'm really hoping that I'll be sitting eating a big piece of pizza by then.
No, we'll have an emergency pack. that all of that reflective gear can be in the emergency pack.
Yeah, I guess you can always have that as a backup. And then running cap, sunblock.
Sunglasses.
I have full faith that the sun will still be up, Christine, when you start your run.
No, definitely.
I think your cycling's a lot better than you make it out to be.
Yeah, maybe. With the wind behind me, I'm amazing. It's like.
Well, for half that race, you should have the wind behind you.
I hope so. I've been stalking some people I know that are not as good cyclists as I am. And, I was checking out their Ironman splits and times and things like that. So you can see where the headwinds are and where the tailwinds are.
Okay.
let's hope, yeah, there's a more tailwind.
So my biggest lesson coming out of transition two was don't believe the hype, don't buy into the hype. So what I found was that as soon as I came out of and I still do it, I got to really control myself. I start running, and what I don't realize is that I tend to push a very high pace, and it's so difficult with tired legs from the bike to sustain anything. Your legs are tired, and then I'm running faster than I should, and I cause some serious pain for myself. So I've had to consistently work on keeping a slow pace coming out of transition, and then once I'm warm, then starting to find my normal pace.
Mm, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because they say that no Ironman is one on the swim. They're all one on the run.
Mm.
I don't know how accurate that is. I'll let you know after the 29th of March. Except I won't win.
Yeah, unless we all 1, 2, 3. I mean, that would be just amazing. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that
ain't gonna happen. I was actually quite devastated when you said, like, we're not these pro athletes that are trying to do 50-second transitions. I was quite offended, Renzo.
I'm just aiming to get my wetsuit off in 50 seconds.
Yeah, and I think that the transition thing is something to master. But I think the most important thing that I'm learning is that it needs practice, it needs as much attention as the other disciplines. Maybe not as much time. But.
I mentioned this before, and I think I can't remember which episode it was. I think it was two or three, but when I went on the De Bruyn Train camp in Clarence. With Gerard De Bruyn, we used to practice the transition. So we'd have a transition set up on the training camp. And I suppose anyone could apply this in any setup with their training, even if it's two or three people. So you have a little mini transition set up, and then we would ride 20Ks, I think it was. No, we'd ride 10Ks and then come back, do a quick transition, jump on the run for like 2Ks. Then we'd do that again, the 10Ks, do the transition back on the run, and we'd do that like 4 or 5 times. I think we did it for about an hour and a half or nearly 2 hours. Wow. Just to practice that, and part of that was practicing with your pedals clipped on, so you constantly like practicing the behavior almost every time. So that was, I found that extremely helpful. So it's something quite simple you can do like anywhere really.
So that
comes back to the whole point of practicing it. And like you practice brick runs, it's the same concept, but you're actually practicing the transition as well.
Yeah, getting comfortable.
Yeah,
I think that's everything with regards to transition. If there's any listeners out there that can help us with something that we might have missed, or give us an extra tip or two on some of the topics, please give us a shout out. We will take any second that we can save any day of the week. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a good laugh.
Especially before the episode.
Have a lucky evening.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Welcome to the road to Ironman 2020, becoming a better me. This is the 6-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.